You're storing memories to lose them again. You'll forget everything when this whole thing ends. You can't even predict what tomorrow brings. But don't lose track of living in the present.
Welcome to the Memory Distillery, everyone. I'm Anthony Vernieri.
And I'm John Deck, and each week we will malt, mash, ferment, and distill our way through the spirits of our past in the form of long-loved movies.
And this week, I don't have an audio clip because we won't be able to air the episode if we do, because we're watching Encanto from 2021, directed by Jared Bush and Byron Howard and Charisse Castro-Smith. I've never seen such a big directing cast before, or directing lineup. But yeah, we're watching Encanto. Thank you so much to the JOE, Joe Prisco, for requesting that for his birthday we watch and review Encanto. John, I suspect that we will be doing a fair bit of talking about music.
Maybe.
As it's very prevalent in Pixar, Disney films, and especially in this one, it being so... such a new film. Everybody is really into the soundtrack, you know, the Don't Say No to Bruno, and
nailed it in one. Yeah,
to Owls. Is there something like that, right? I got that. Did I get it all?
Yeah, once again, you've managed to hit more or less pretty much exact. So Anthony,
nailed it.
You have not seen this movie. And I have seen this movie. So,
I haven't.
Right. So it'll be a fun, you know, mix, because not only will I have seen the movie before, but I've seen it recently, and I've seen it more than one time. I'm a big fan. So like, it's not a question of if it's a good movie or what's going on from my point of view. So I'm going to just dig a bit more into what I like about it and why, and just see what kind of energy I can bring to it in that way. But yeah, I think we're not going to talk just about, you know, the music from this movie, because I feel it really borrows and connects and ties to so many other references that we're going to have a lot of room to jump off. That's my gut feeling. We'll see how it actually goes once we watch and come back to talk about it.
Yeah. I'm down for that. I'm really excited for it. I've been wanting to watch it since it came out, and I just haven't gotten around to it. I know that my wife desperately also wants to watch it, so I'm sure that the whole family will sit down to watch this. I do have a question for you. Should I, because I'm in touch with my inner self, and I allow myself to be vulnerable and emotional. Should I expect to ugly cry at some point in this movie?
No. You shouldn't. And if you do, there's something wrong with your tear ducts. I think there are definitely moments that could be touching where you might feel things, but this isn't like so many recent movies where, you know, this isn't like total heartstring pulling on them until your tears are just flowing like Niagara Falls. It's a little more subtle, a little more, you know, fun mixed in, but it's touching. It's definitely there, but you know, hey, who am I to judge? Maybe you will be bawling, who knows.
Well, there's only one way to find out. We're gonna go and watch this movie. It's currently streaming on Disney Plus. You can get there, and I'm pretty sure that's it. Like, I don't think you can get really anywhere else. Is this still in theaters? It probably is.
It's coming back to theaters this weekend, actually. It's on Disney.
Well, there you go.
It's on Disney, so, but Disney Plus, I mean. But I just saw an article like not a half hour ago, but earlier today that said it was going to be re-released in theaters for the weekend.
All right. Well, then that's it. Because we're recording this long before that happens. So, get it on Disney Plus. Come watch with us. Johnny, you ready? Let's go.
No, no, no. That's a reference to the movie. I'm ready. Let's go.
Welcome back, everybody. John, John? What's wrong? Hello? Are you there? Oh. Okay. Okay.
I'm not nervous. I'm as tough as the crust of the earth is. I move mountains, I move churches, and in blokes, I know what my worth is. I don't ask how hard the work is. Got a rough, indestructible surface. Diamonds and platinum, I find them, I flatten them, I take what I'm handed, I break what's demanded. But under the surface, I feel deserved as a tightrope walker in a free-range circus. Under the surface, was Hercules ever knocked you out? I don't wanna fly the surface. Under the surface, I'm pretty sure I'm worthless if I can't be of service. A flaw or a crack, the straw in the stack that breaks the camel's back. What breaks the camel's back? It's pressure like a drip, drip, drip that'll never stop. Whoa. Pressure that'll tip, tip, tip till you just go pop. Whoa, oh, oh. Huh?
I mean,
come on.
It was unexpected.
That was not the most delightful thing you could have ever expected to fade back into ever. Tell me that's not the best thing you could have expected ever.
I mean, it was good.
It was good. What do you sound very unimpressed. This is a special Joeversary, Joe birthday extravaganza. What
and
you think?
Lovely.
You wanted more, didn't you? You wanted something else.
I mean,
you wanted We Don't Talk About Bruno.
I mean, that's like the headliner. That's kind of the showstopper.
But it's got like 500 parts. There's just no way, unless.
Oh my God.
So, I mean,
so fucking well done. Oh my God.
Listen, every once in a while I find myself with the spare minute or two or hour and a half, or, you know, we don't talk about how long it takes to edit.
Woo! No, because if we did, I would get a lot more money for this job. That was wonderful. Both of those were wonderful renditions of songs from the movie Encanto. Joe, I hope you enjoyed that. We look forward to the Facebook and Instagram posts about all of this. So I'm very excited. Shall we talk about Bruno?
I mean, there's a reason we start, you know, the review with some musical numbers there, because there are a lot of cool things to talk about with this movie. But first and foremost, at the top of everything, I feel the music is more or less the heart of everything going on with this movie.
1,000%.
So I just, from beginning to end, I'm not saying every song is equal, you know, in my heart. I think, you know, those two right there are two of my favorite. But there's just so much going on in the storytelling that happens through the music, the heart of it, the just what's really happening in each individual story of all these different characters being brought together in a way that you just have a hard time, you know, especially with a fairly large cast, you know, a lot of different characters here, just getting at the core and the heart of who they are and like their insecurities and the things going on in their lives. It's like there's so much storytelling in such a short amount of time. I just am so impressed.
Yeah. And like when you couple that with the short runtime, because this isn't your Marvel movies or your Star Wars, this is an animated feature, and it's long for an animated feature. Like most animated features you're going to find are going to run about 85 to 95 minutes. This goes almost a buck 10, doesn't it? Like this is a longer movie.
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
But it's like absolutely worth it. It's it's a beautifully animated film. It's a wonderful story that unfolds and really doesn't leave a lot to be desired in terms of plot and development. Like this is a really well fleshed out movie in a very brief period of time.
Yeah, I mean, I'll say if I'm going to be critical, which you know I can't help but be that person.
That's not the John Deck I know.
It's not a perfect movie, and I'd say in some ways, on some levels, I think it's a bit, I don't know, trite. It's a bit, you know, overly like the magic was in you all along, like you know that whole. The whole bit, and that, I'm not objecting and saying that makes it a bad movie, but there have been a lot of different Disney and Pixar movies that are like cute on the surface, but then have darker themes and tones, and this hints at that and never quite goes there. So like, after watching this the third time, because I've watched it three times now or four, I can't remember, it doesn't matter, but like... Now I'm like picking up there's things that I love, and then there's things that I'm picking up that I didn't notice or see before. But then there's also, because it is a decent, substantially, you know, long movie, some of it drags just a bit. Some of it feels like I want a little more darkness. I want a little more, you know, maybe an antagonist or something other than just family dysfunction. Like there's something there that I am missing that I get in some other movies, like it just doesn't quite have that journey that I'm used to, although they do some interesting things that I also like with Mirabelle, the whole like they're setting it up like, oh, she's going to get some awesome power. It's just, you know, by the end, she's going to get it. And like, but it really, that wasn't the point. That's not what the point of this movie is. And you could argue and say that like, ultimately you discover by the end that her power is the power to keep her family together, or the power to bring back magic, or you know, like you have all these things, but it's like that's not the point, and I'm fine with that. I like that lack of resolve on that level.
They did a lot of interesting things in this movie from along that same line, like the darkness thing that we're going to keep coming back to. I think it's going to be a recurring theme. They kept alluding to this sinister thing with Bruno. And then it turns out he's harmless. Like he just sees things and tells people what it is. Like he doesn't have any control over what he sees, only that he sees. And he chose for a long time not to. And, you know, he did the whole Luke Skywalker thing. But like ultimately he's not a bad person, as we find out. And there's really no direction to point a finger in terms of like whose fault is this or why is this happening, and it's just an unconventional method of storytelling, and that's not a bad thing. Like it's unique, mm-hmm. and it's it shows the creativity of the writing staff. I mean, you have a killer writing staff, six people writing this movie, including Lin-Manuel Miranda. And it shows through, like the talent of the writers, the talent of the directors, the whole staff, the cast, everybody, they all pulled their weight and they made a good fucking movie.
And I really like how this was not like, let's make a token movie that reflects some nationality so we can put it up on the shelf and say, see, we did another movie that talks about a different culture, so let's pat ourselves on the back and say we're diverse. This really has a lot of ties between the music and like so many details pulling back to the Colombian heritage and story. I mean, just alone, you know, like John Leguizamo being in it and being from Colombia is a great nod, but like And I can't remember if we talked about this in our intro before we watched the movie to come back, but this is like our 35th John Leguizamo movie, I think.
We watched so many of them unexpectedly.
Yeah, it's not a bad thing. So, but like one of the things this time watching, I was just impressed with just when you have details that are so small that people are like truly paying attention to, you know, like the costume design, the virtual costume design in this. There's all this intricate stitching and the dresses and the costume and they're wearing, and all of the different characters have little symbols or things that reflect their gifts sewn into mm-hmm. their clothing. And so like to see Louisa have like little barbells in her, you know, clothing and hitched in, like just little things like that. And then like with Maribel, she just has things about her other family members, not about herself. So it's like, right. Those connections between who she is, how she interconnects with the family. And then like this time I also thought about like her relationship to her abuela and like that idea of like abuela brought the candle and the power and through the tragedy and she came there and that's where it came from. And it's almost like Mirabel is inheriting the grandmother role.
That's what it feels like when we reach the end. I'm glad I'm not the only one who felt that way. She becomes the glue, I think, that holds yeah. the entire Encanto together. Not even just the family, but the whole town, the whole village, and the valley. She's that person, and it's. That's adding power to that is like a hat on a hat. So,
I mean, what's wrong with hats on hats on hats?
Fair point, I suppose. Hat man. But you get what I'm saying, though? Like, it's she has enough. She doesn't need more. Nobody in this story needs more or even really wants more. Like, they're happy, and that should be dissatisfying. Like, it's in a different movie, it's a dissatisfying way of telling the story. Like, there's really not conflict. There's really not a bad person or a true. There's no entity that you can point at and go, that's the danger. And have a focus instead. Like, this is truly like problem solving and dealing with interpersonal relationships and particularly when it comes to family. And those are important things to focus on. And we don't really do it enough, especially not in a big budget Pixar movie. Like, don't get me wrong. Pixar tells great, great stories. There are, I challenge myself to find a Pixar film that I did not like, and I guarantee I'll fail at that.
I was going to say, you just set yourself up by stating that this is doing something you don't quite see in anime.
Right, but then
and then you're like, but you do, and it's good.
I had that expectation.
Because I was thinking of like Inside Out, and I was thinking of WALL-E, and I was thinking all these movies that have... I
love all those movies.
Like all this depth and all these things. But yeah, it is a different flavor, different thing that you're absolutely right, would just fall flat in a lot of different movies that tried to express the same thing.
Right, and so, in this one, it thrives, and it does well, and I like that a lot.
There's just something kind of genuine, and I think it's partly because of good old what's-her-face, Stephanie Beatrice...
I love her so much.
It's so crazy to me. Hold on,
sorry. Before you can do, did you watch In the Heights?
Yeah.
She's great in The Heights too. Okay.
She's also great in The Heights, of course. But yeah, but I got to know her, you know, from Brooklyn Nine-Nine, being very monotone and deadpan, you know, and so like she brings such emotion and vulnerability and like humor and like all these great elements. And I think it really carries the character who, you know, a lot of this conflict is between, you know, like her sisters and herself and her, you know, and uncle and like all these different people who are either misunderstood or, you know, it's like, oh, she's strong. She doesn't need support. Oh, you know, she's doing her thing here. She's perfect. She's annoying because she's so good and I hate her. And like all these different things that we could probably relate to some of these different emotions or connections, whether it's with family or friends or whatever it might be. And she's kind of forced to go through this journey and saving this magic and saving the charm, the Encanto. It's like she's guided through this path of like figuring out who her family really is and what her role is and being there for them, but like not enabling them, not, you know, doing anything destructive, not like fixing their problems, but instead, you know, be there to give them a hug or be there to tell them it's okay not to be perfect or be there, you know, like all these different things. So it's like, damn it, it's just very inspiring. And it's done in this way where it's like, there's a part of me that wants to be critical of it and say, oh, this is too like, oh, we're a family friendly movie, blah, blah, blah. Except it feels like it should be there. And yet somehow it's better than that. It brings everything together with the right balance. So it is that sweet little family friendly movie that's not really harmful and is totally fine. But at the same time, there's something to that in the relationships that you can really sink your teeth into. And I really love that.
Well, maybe we need more of that. Like we always have superhero movies and these big action flicks and these, you know, huge romantic comedies and these dramas and all this stuff that tell these larger than life stories or stories about larger than life people. And it doesn't really like give any focus to an average regular person. And Anthony, that's what Mirabel is, or me.
Anthony.
You've said my name twice.
I think you're forgetting about the Fast and the Furious. Because that's all about family, man.
That's true.
That's all about family. And it's not mindless action movie. Yeah, it's not. And you know, and while I'm at it, you know, Vin Diesel, who some say is like the Picasso mixed with Rembrandt of our time when it comes to acting.
Sure.
He's also... the voice of Groot in the Guardians of the Galaxy movies, those comic book movies you just derailed a second ago, but those movies are all about found family as well. So I think you need to go apologize to Vin Diesel.
So what was I getting at there?
Something about fish dying?
No, not about the fish dying, although... Yeah, like Bruno did predict that. I had something I wanted to talk. So speaking of Stephanie Beatriz, so my wife and I, Brooklyn Nine-Nine was our introduction to her as well. And we're sitting here watching it last night, and she goes, "Who is that? She sounds so familiar." And she had two of those moments. I'll tell you the other one is in a bit. But I look it up on IMDb and I go, she goes, "What?" I go, "Rosa Rosa." She goes, "No way." And I showed it to her and she's like, "Oh my God." The other moment was where we're going through and we're watching this movie and the songs are going as they go. And she goes, "Man, these songs sound really familiar. Who wrote them?" I go, "Lin-Manuel Miranda." She goes, "Oh, okay. Yeah, say no more. That makes total sense."
It's great. You could go onto the internet and maybe later we'll have to explain to people how to get on the internet. It's the kids showed me.
It's the World Wide Web. You hit the button and it does the dialing and makes the noise.
After you get through the dialing up and get onto YouTube, you can look at mashups between Encanto and Hamilton, or mashups between Encanto and In the Heights, and like it's just uncanny, and it's very much like, well, yeah, some of the rhythm and the back and forth like is very much like there's the whole Family Madrigal intro, mm-hmm. when she's like telling what everyone's powers are. They mash that up with the music like from Guns and Ships from Hamilton.
Oh man, I bet that's so like, good. I'm gonna have to look that up.
It's great. Amazing. It's like, yeah, it's a lot of fun, and it really shows, you know, that connection that even though the movies could be different, the songs could be different. It's very much Lin. You know, it all has that same heart, and even some of the same, you know, going to the same well in terms of, you know, certain techniques, like layering techniques and certain, I don't know all the right musical terms for it, but you know, like whatever the things are where you call back to the same melody in a different song later that you did earlier.
Oh, like a reprise.
Yeah. And sometimes it's really subtle, or sometimes it's like Bruno, where it's like literally all piled on top of each other. Like, right. But like it all just works out in such an amazing way. And so, yeah, it's really awesome. And it's funny because to watch this, like, we're kind of entered this era where, for me, if it's not like BTS and, you know, that brand of K-pop, like this current era of time, like the music that I'm just digging and getting into and can't get out of my head is like almost exclusively being funneled through Lin-Manuel Miranda, because it's like, I mean, I really love the Moana and, you know, Encanto, these are great. But then of course there's Hamilton and In the Heights, mm-hmm. and those are great. And like, there's just all these different things where it's like, why are these the only things that get stuck in my head? There's, I'm listening to a ton of music, lots of great stuff out there. But like, these are the things that, like it or not, are just drilled in and get stuck and live in my head, you know, nonstop.
I'm having that with the Beatles right now. I watched that Get Back in December, and it's still just all Beatles all the time, pretty much. But I'm enjoying it. So, but I get that. When I watched Hamilton, it was nothing but Hamilton for the longest. And then I discovered In the Heights and the Hamilton mixtape and Moana and all that other stuff that Lin has done. And I'm like, oh man, this is, he's really on to something. Speaking of Lin-Manuel Miranda, I have to ask, how hard do you think it was for Disney to talk him into not singing any of the songs for the movie?
Oh, there are memes and stuff all over about pictures of him as Hamilton compared to pictures of Bruno. Lin as Hamilton, or I mean, Lin, yeah, forget all that. Let me start over. They're saying Bruno is what Lin-Manuel Miranda looks like in Hamilton. If he never made Hamilton, he would have turned into Bruno or something.
Oh,
like that.
Man.
Like,
yeah, I can totally, like, yeah,
so
I can totally get that.
It's just funny. So, yeah, and they're like, how many people do you think they needed to, like, hold Lin back from saying, I'll do it. I'll do one of the voices. I'll do it. I got it. I'm in it. You know, it's like, I think he has a certain degree of humbleness, but then also he has, it's not like he doesn't have any skills or anything, especially when it comes to, like, oh, well, we're going to need someone who can kind of do a little sing rapping. Who do we know who could do a little bit of that?
And he's in the back of the room with his hand going, me, it's me, it's me, it's me. I can do it, guys. It's me.
I promise, let me.
You know who we haven't had in Disney for a while? Johnny Legs. Let's get John Leguizamo in here. Come on, guys, it's me. I'm over here. Hey, can we get John Leguizamo? Guys, it's me, Lin. John.
I mean, I want to see how things come through for the live action Little Mermaid.
Is he writing that too?
He's teaming up with is it Alan Menken? Whoever the guy that's still alive. I think Howard Ashman died. But yeah, because I think they're doing one or two new songs for that.
The live be action. Great. And, even if they rework some of the songs, like if they do like Kiss the Girl or something, and Lin can add his spin to it, I think that would be pretty cool.
Yeah, I think that might be another one where he, you know, wish that he could, you know, be somehow
Sebastian.
Yeah, but you know, they David Diggs is in it, so.
Oh, that's right. He is playing Sebastian.
So. Yeah, so that's, you know, you gotta. I also love how Lin is so faithful to all of his very talented friends. You know, across all things. I'm surprised he didn't get Chris Jackson in Little Mermaid, or
God, that
like
would be so cool.
So, but yeah, so it really is Lin's world. We're just kind of borrowing time in it. I think
we really are. Like, he does he get the EGOT this year? Is he going to get the Oscar for best song? For
I listened to this really cool podcast, and they had some special about the Roscoes or something, and it definitely wasn't a couple of guys who were like huffing glue, you know, in a Hobby Lobby basement somewhere. Don't worry.
Oh, I think
that.
I've heard that episode. But go ahead.
But I think they came to the conclusion that whether or not Dos Origatos or I don't know what, I can't remember the song.
Oruguitas, not to be confused with
Mr.
Orguitas.
Roboto.
Yes, that's
Domo
the one.
Origato, Mr. Roboto. No, like, that's the submitted song. It's a sentimental pick. It's going to get him that O, and then he'll be an EGOT. But he's like, he's got so many other things. Like, they got to come up with a new word instead of EGOT. Like,
it'll be the EGOT because he'll go for like a Golden Globe, and then it'll be, oh, and he's got to go for a daytime Emmy, so the DEGOT, and
that's it, racist.
It is. I'm sorry.
I don't know.
I'm sorry. My apologies to the proud DEG people. I didn't mean to offend.
Right. But I mean, he's won a Pulitzer. He's won a MacArthur Genius Fellowship grant. You know, he's won like all these not small things.
Can we get him to win an election and then he can be like even more impactful?
I would think so. And then it'll probably be even easier for him to pick up some of the small ones like the Nobel Peace Prize and things like
that.
Yeah. So I think it's all everything's turning up Lin
anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is turning up Lin, man. It's good for him. hard to think of a more deserving, more talented performer, writer, actor, comedian, rapper.
Yeah, it's
extraordinaire.
It's always dangerous because I want to believe that he's as personable and funny and humble and not a creep and not a horrible person. I want to believe all these things. I don't know him, but I want to believe that. And there's no reason for me not to believe it. So I'm going to choose to just move forward thinking, you know, this is a creative role model and someone who I just kind of wish I could be friends with, you know, that kind of thing. And I don't mind spending a half hour just going on and on and talking about it. I actually wrote him a fan letter once and I never sent it because it was just, I don't know why I didn't send it. Cause I just, you know, it's a hard copy mail thing. And what do you do with those? I guess lick a stamp and stick it somewhere. I don't know how that works.
They're actually just technology. Peel and stick now.
Yeah. So I keep licking the peel and stick ones and then the stamps get ruined. So,
ow. Yeah, that'll happen. I keep my stamps next to my checkbook.
Checkbook.
So this has been Lin-Manuel Miranda cast. Let's talk a little bit more about this movie. I loved Casita as a character.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't one of those things where it was like Cousin It or The Thing from Adam's Family, and it wasn't like Kit from Knight Rider or something like this. It was more subtle, and it was a little playful, and I liked it a lot. It was so much fun to see how the house interacted with everybody, especially the kids, like how the house would be sort of cheeky with the kids and play with them.
Speaking of the house and the kids, like when people get their rooms, it's just like, oh my God, like how amazing would it be to have this?
Oh, to live in the TARDIS house?
Yeah,
yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
It would be amazing.
Like, I definitely, whether or not I actually speak with animals, that's the room that I want, like a jungle room, you know, that's gigantic room. I think, and it is very entertaining with how much Mirabelle hates Bruno's room, because it's just climbing up stairs. These towers and the sand and everything's falling apart, and that's amusing. But yeah, that's a nice little trick. That's a fun house. And yeah, taking an inanimate object like that and really finding a way for it to express emotion and to take action and not be like a cheesy character, but not be like a non-entity either. Like it actually has personality and connection and stuff. So that's pretty cool.
It was. Probably my favorite scene involving the house was when the kids are trying to run up the stairs to look at the door.
Yeah.
And it, like, Casita just makes the stairs flat into a slide, and I thought that was pretty neat. What else you got, John?
Well, I think you might make fun of me if I get back into another Lin-Manuel tidbit. But I really, knowing, especially listening this time, and knowing, like, for example, when Louisa sings the Surface Pressure, that was like, he has said in an interview that like it was a love letter to his older sister, you know, that she's 6 years older than him, and growing up, like, she had a lot of responsibilities and he was just getting away with everything. And like, knowing that he's acknowledging that, and then when Luis is like cracking under this pressure but trying to hold it together for the family, it's like, I just I who knows what his relationship with his sister Luz is now. I imagine it's good, but like the honor of having that kind of like, I see you, like I feel, you know, I see what you've experienced, and this is me just trying to acknowledge your sacrifice and acknowledge how strong you were and how you know held things together for us and all that. And so I really, that kind of chokes me up a bit, just knowing that, just when I hear it and I know that story, I'm just like, oh man, that's great.
I'm glad I didn't know that last night when I was watching this, because I already cried like four times watching this movie. Like it wasn't like ugly crying or anything. It was just like, there's a lot of really beautiful moments in it. And I got choked up. Like,
yeah. Like I didn't cry like I do with other movies that really hit me hard, but I definitely have little tears welling up in my eyes several times throughout the movie.
Yeah. It's really nice that way. Pixar's good for that. Pixar's always good for that. If you're not getting choked up at a Pixar movie, you're doing something wrong. Cause it's not Pixar. They're doing all the right things in that regard. All the heartstrings.
I kept looking, cause again, with Pixar, they always have Easter eggs for other things. And I didn't see too many, but I was looking for like Toy Story, and I was looking for, you know, connections to other films. And you know what I found? You know what I saw in Bruno's Castle?
What?
I saw a boot with a plant growing out of it.
Oh, from Wall-E.
From Wall-E. I don't know. It was only for like a second, but so I'm not positive. But what? I mean, come on. I don't know if it's identical, but it's got to be. Like, that is just such a callback and like a cool little Easter egg in there. So that made me happy. There's probably, if I looked it up on the internet, there's probably like a dozen other things that I just didn't see. But yeah, that was...
Oh, there it is. It's right there. How about that? Very cool.
There's a bunch of like scenes where there's like drawings on walls and stuff. And I bet some of those like drawings or pictures are tied to something else, but.
Oh, I'm sure if we took a look, like if we deep dived into every door, we'd find some neat callback or Easter egg in the design of the door. Like that's totally their style.
I mean, and the door designs do remind me a little bit of Maui's tattoos from Moana.
Yeah, a little
so
bit.
So I wonder if there's some hidden stuff there. So anyway, we could speculate all day about that. But again, just one more way you feel that lineage of great movies.
Yeah, for sure.
That's what I got.
That's all I got, too. That's our show, everyone. Happy birthday, Joe. Happy birthday to the J-O-E. And thank you all so much for listening to us as we distill another favorite from our past. We have new episodes on Mondays, so come and hang out with us on Apple and Stitcher and Spotify and Google Podcasts and tmdpod.com. That's where you can go and check us out and see all of our episodes and pictures and websites, all the ones and zeros we put out there. You can see all that right there. Yeah, new episodes, come check us out there. Yeah, I think that's about it for me. John, take us home.
So, you know, I feel like I put in a lot of my time and effort earlier in the episode about my musical.
Sorry.
So no. I think that's yeah. So I'll just say real quick that the other less amazing music in our podcast comes from Semaphore, the song Destroying the Evidence. So check that out yourself. Look up Semaphore. Check out the rest of their albums and music because it's worth the time. Also email us at thememorydistillery@gmail.com if maybe you got a birthday coming up. Maybe you got some special event or a request or a movie or something you really think that we need to get into. We want to hear about that. Or just, you know, if there's any requests for like signing me to some kind of a recording contract, it would be very understandable. So pass that my way there. You can also tweet us at Team D Pod and just kind of look for us on Facebook. There's a lot of ways to interact with us. And we love to interact with our fans. And kind of give you what you want. So good luck with all that. Thanks again for listening. I'm John Deck.
And I'm Anthony Verneri, and this has been the Memory Distillery. We don't talk about Bruno.